Let me invite you to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And we'll be looking there in just a moment as we consider that command to honor father and mother. This is coming back to some of the lessons we've been looking at on the home over the last several months. And I particularly want to give attention to the idea of honoring father and mother when it comes to adult children, and how they interact with their parents, and then how their parents interact with them, and taking that in both directions and trying to see what the Bible says about that. Generally, when we think of the command to honor father and mother, we think of Ephesians chapter 6, and we think particularly of applying that to children who are still in the home, and that seems more obvious as far as what that role entails and what the responsibilities of children who are at home are. What is less focused on, we don't give near as much attention as to responsibilities once you leave the home, and in both directions. And I think that causes some tension, that there are parents that are confused about what that relationship should look like, and there are certainly children that are confused about what that relationship should look like. And I think the Bible doesn't deal as much length about that, but it certainly gives us enough information that I think we can get a complete and accurate picture of what that ought to look like. And so we'll talk about that this morning. As we look at the idea of honoring father and mother, and the importance, the prominence that this command is given. Now, you'll note in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, and in verse 12, it falls as number 5 among the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and mother. And, I was in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel chapter 20 does not say anything about that. It says, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, as we break the Ten Commandments up into two parts generally, we associate the first half of the Ten Commandments with honor to God, love to God, and then the second half of the Ten Commandments with love to neighbor. And of course, Paul groups them that way, or at least that second half he groups that way in Romans chapter 13. And we've talked about the first half really being associated. Well, here's a command that seems to straddle both. That the honor towards father and mother is what lays the foundation of honor towards God. He is the Father. And so as we learn at very early stages to begin to honor and obey our earthly mothers and fathers, then we are setting the stage, and our parents are laying the groundwork so that we would understand what it means and have an appropriate and right association when we come to think of our Father who is in heaven. And so that makes it kind of unique as a command, and it kind of gives it a highlight. Additionally, Paul points to the command to honor father and mother as the first that is given with promise over in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and there in verse 2 and 3, he says, honor your father and mother, giving the quotation there, which, this is his addition there, the Holy Spirit's addition, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then he gives the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so Paul lifts it above the other commandments and says, hey, God tells you what the favorable consequences of this would be, is that you may, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So, I think that's worthy of note. I mean, Paul makes it worthy of note that God gives that emphasis, that he gives the emphasis like this is the hinge point of the Ten Commandments. He gives the emphasis in saying this is fundamentally important and will of particular interest, give a blessing, maybe over and above or maybe not even over and above the other commands, but it's worth noting above the other commands that this will particularly bring a blessing if you follow it. Now, notice over in Exodus chapter 20 as well as Deuteronomy chapter 5, Paul gives a part of the blessing as he makes that quotation over in Ephesians, but he doesn't give it in its entirety. So going back to Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And so not just that you shall live long, but that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then again, over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, as Moses is repeating those commandments for the people, in verse 16, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you." And so Paul kind of combines those blessings. It may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. But in those two instances, Moses says that you may live long, or that you may prolong your days in the land which I am giving you, which I think gives that command more of a societal kind of blessing. So it's certainly the singular second person pronouns being used. So when he says honor your father and mother, that's a singular your. But in that he says that this is gonna prolong your days in the land, it seems to be more like a cultural benefit, or at least to extend into a cultural benefit. And I absolutely think that's the case, and I think that bears out that when we, as a society, honor fathers and mothers, when we put parents in a place of honor and prominence, and not just parents, but the elderly of our society, which is, that's where parents end up, right? And so we hold them up with regard, that is going to make a society stable and prosperous. And when culturally children are following after their parents, then society moves in a positive direction, or at least sustains positive results. And as that deteriorates, so does the society. And so I don't think it's just that an individual's days will be cut short, but I think a whole society's days will be cut short as we begin to dismiss and dishonor parents, not just as individuals, but as a whole. I would say this as well about that, that in this command and in the commands with regards to husbands and wives, husbands ought to love their wives, that wives ought to respect and submit to their husbands, a lot of people will point to proposed exceptions. Here's someone who doesn't need to honor their parents because look at who their parents are, look at what they've done. Here's someone who doesn't need to submit to her husband, look at what he's done, what kind of man he is. God gives these as universal edicts. And he says, this is what builds society. And when we point to exceptions, I don't want to take away from the fact that those exceptions are there. But we don't make rules on the basis of exceptions. Here is the rule. The rule is honor. And if we start acting like that exceptions are more frequent than the rule, then usually what happens is not that people bring up the worst sorts of instances of people who have abused and discarded their children, and in fact in those cases I think what children do is find other parents to form those honor attachments with, but what ends up happening is somebody says, "My father's not honorable," and what they really mean is that they just don't like their, they don't particularly get along with their father. That's not an exception to this rule. Honor your father and mother. And I think the same thing happens in marriages. Somebody, they come along and they give the worst example of the most abusive sort of husband, and then we let that into the door, and we start talking about exceptions, and before long what we're talking about is a man who doesn't put the toilet seat down. And I'm so oppressed. No, you honor and respect your husband and submit to him. This is the rule. And when we take away from that as being the rule, society as a whole starts to crumble. Not just your marriage, not just your family, everything starts to crumble. And we don't have to look very far for evidence to see that that in fact is the case when this rule breaks down. Along those lines, consider what God says. Consider how strongly he presses this command with regards to the punishments. Back over in Exodus chapter 21. In Exodus chapter 21 and in verse 15, he says, "He who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Verse 17, "He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Now, I can't imagine the mindset that would allow a person to strike their father or mother. As far as my conscious memory, I don't remember ever even thinking of taking that course of action. And I say conscious memory, I think if I ever had, I would have been unconscious. But it just didn't occur to me. We live in a society today where not only does it occur, it happens. People curse their parents. I remember driving a school bus, and this is 16 years ago. I was driving a school bus, and I was cursed by one of the students, cursed at by one of the students. And I went to the office. They called the parent. Parent comes up there. He curses the parent. First grade, 7 years old. And already so full of invective towards the whole world, including every authority figure in his life. And so, God says, "I know where this goes, and I want to put a stop to it. And every time you see it, I want to put a dead, literally a dead stop to it. It cannot be allowed to continue to poison this nation of people that I am raising up to be like me." In Leviticus chapter 20 and in verse 9, again, "If there's anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him." And then finally over in Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 18, "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Then his father and his mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the many men of his city shall stone him to death. And so you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear." So, very plain blessings, very plain consequences. The blessings are tremendous. The consequences are tremendous. And so God puts a premium on this command to honor father and mother. Well, let's talk about the application. How is it that we go about honoring father and mother? Well, in the first instance, just looking up the definition, what does honor mean? Honor, the literal word has to do with weight, giving weight to something. And that's that idea of this is very important. It's very heavy. And so the relationship with our parents is not light. It's not lighthearted. It's not casual. Now you might say, well, listen, I mean, I'm able to joke around with my parents. I'm able to have a lighthearted relationship. That's fine. But at the base of it, this is not lighthearted. This is very serious. And it is a responsibility that we will carry all of our days. And so we don't have a mere acquaintance relationship, a mere friendship relationship. Friendships come and go and can be allowed to come and go, frankly. This cannot. It is an inherent responsibility. I was reading a book a while back talking about biology. A woman was dealing with a number of issues, how the Bible talks about biology. And one of the points that she made that was very important, she said, God says that our biological connections give us responsibilities. That when you are biologically attached to someone, in other words, you share the same genes, then you have responsibility. And to our parents, it is not that we have formed some responsibility or developed some responsibility as we develop a relationship. No, the fact that you are brought into this world, that's it. You've got it. You've got a responsibility now. And so God gives weight to that relationship. But as far as applying that more specifically, the instruction to obey. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But that is not what Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says. That's not what Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 say. They say, honor your father and mother. And in the instance of someone who lives in their parents' household, obey is the most pressing way to apply that. How do you honor your father and mother when you live in their house? Well, you do what they say. That is how you give them honor. But that instruction to obey seems to be attached to children who are in that situation, that they are living in their parents' household. They are part of that household. And I tell young people, I'm teaching young people's class when you're getting 18, 19, 20 years old, and you're feeling that independence, and you feel the urge to make your own rules for your own life and so forth, and that's appropriate. I mean, that's, God means for you to want to do that, to form your own household and not to stay in your parents' house for the rest of your life. And so, that's good. And yet, you are in their house. And people will ask me, you know, how long do I have to do what my parents say? So long as they're paying the bills, buddy. I mean, when you're in their house, it's their rules. And I would just say that across the board, no matter whose house you're living in at any point. If it's their house, they make the rules for their house. And so, 20-year-old guy comes and says, my parents still say I have to be home at a certain time. Well, then go find a different home if you don't like that. You know, and that's their house. And so we maintain that honor even on up into years, so long as we continue to put ourselves under their protection and their authority. Obedience is part of what we do to honor our parents. However, I think that, as I say, I think that does seem to be aimed at children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I know that word children can apply to people who are adults, and there are places where it does apply to adults. But in the context here, Paul says children, and then on the other end, he's talking about fathers bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, obviously, he's not talking about fathers doing that to other fathers who are raising their own children. So he's talking about children who are under the watchful care and the nurture and bringing up of their parents. They're still in that sort of relationship with their parents. But Jesus makes a different application, and I don't mean a contradictory one, but just when he talks about honor to parents and the command and the application of that command, he gives a specific instance. And so over in Mark chapter 7, in Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, he says, he was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such things as that. And so, what Jesus says, here's a responsibility to honor father and mother, and that responsibility plays out in this instance as you take care of them. You take financial care of father and mother. And particularly in this instance, you know, there weren't great 401ks in first century Rome. And people generally, that's what they relied on, was their children to care for them in their waning years. As a father lost income, there really were no retirement plans. That was your retirement plan. In fact, as Phyllis Schlafly says, before Social Security, we had something called, something like Social Security. It was called having children and raising them well. And that was your Social Security. And indeed, that's biblical. So it goes from being obedient. That's how we display honor, to taking care of. And that is an aspect of displaying honor. And I don't mean that that's the only way that we display honor, but it seems to shift to the primary way. That the primary way when we're under their authority is that we obey them. The primary way as we grow older is that we provide for them and take care of them. Jesus, I think, illustrates this at both ends of his life. In Luke chapter 2, and there in verse 51 that Aaron read for us a few moments ago, we have the occasion of Jesus and his family visiting Jerusalem, and you recall that Jesus stayed behind and was interacting there, asking and answering questions there in the temple. His parents discover that he's missing. They come back, and he has that conversation with them where he tells them that he must be about his father's business. Verse 51, it says, as they leave, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. That is a fascinating verse to me because Jesus already is obviously growing in knowledge above his years. He already is displaying wisdom that is beyond a 12-year-old's capacity for wisdom. And so he is at that age, getting at that age where children begin to be certain that they do know more than their parents. He probably did. And yet he goes down in submission with them. I just might add to that. You know, parents, sometimes there's the old quote, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Jesus created his parents. You talk about authority. And yet, he displays total submission to that law and to that creation. And he goes and he submits to those parents. I'll tell you what, if Jesus can show honor in that way, then none of us dare say that we are not in a position to submit to our parents. In John 19, at the other end of his life, verse 26, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And so here in his dying moments, he is honoring his mother. And presumably, Joseph is not around to give that honor to, but he gives that it continues to be a fundamental aspect of Jesus's life is to honor father and mother, and he's providing for her in these last moments. And so I think for us, you know, that we need to have the attitude, and as we're talking about adults, how do we apply that? Well, first of all, I think that we do have to have that sense of weight. And while we may have a good, lighthearted relationship, while we may laugh with our parents, we need to be careful that we don't sort of fall in too easily to the sort of growing societal disdain for anyone over the age of 30. The word boomer, baby boomer, used to refer to people at a certain age. Now it just refers to anybody older than me. And it's derisive. right? So, okay, boomer. It's, you don't understand something, and so I'm going to jokingly dismiss you and say, it's basically saying, okay, old person, you don't know what's going on. And the fact of the matter is, that's true. I don't know what the latest reference is that you're making, and that's quite all right. I'm an adult, and so I can't keep up with all of the latest changing jargon. That's not a reason for disdain. And in fact, you'll be there one day, and you won't know what the latest words are. And you'll be using words that they used 30 years ago, and your kids will be rolling their eyes at you. But that's not a cause for disdain. That is normal generational gap, but we need to maintain respect and honor. And while the world talks about their parents with eye rolls and even as we get on up into adulthood a lot of times, that can happen. I know that parental relationships can get particularly frustrating as the years draw to a close. And I've been in nursing homes where I've seen that frustration. Amy and I were at a nursing home a while back. And there was a woman that we'd had some interaction with. She seemed very friendly. We had some friendly conversations with her, but her daughter was taking her to a doctor's appointment. And her daughter was saying, Mom, just get in the car. And it was, okay, I'll get in the car. And you could just tell the frustration was mounting. And I tell you, frankly, it looked very similar to probably what had been when the situation was reversed. When that mother was telling her daughter one day, just get in the car. And that's kind of the way it happens sometimes. And it turns around. And we're having to maybe talk to our parents like they're children. Because sometimes they become that. And that makes it hard. But I tell you what, what you do want to remember is all that they put up with all that time in raising you and taking care of you. And all the pushback that you gave them, and maybe you're getting a little bit of that back now. And all the patience that you wanted from them is all the patience you should give to them. Only even more so because when you were a kid, you hadn't earned nothing. And so even though they are in that state, they have earned your respect and your honor. And so even when it gets frustrating like that and it's difficult to give that honor, we're going to try to maintain that. We want to speak well of our parents. It is very easy to get frustrated because we have different opinions about things and we're going to have some disagreements and maybe even some tension from time to time. But by and large, what we want to do is, it's similar to a marriage. What we're trying to do is not air dirty laundry. We want to speak of them with honor. And we've talked about this in marriage, like with Joseph, that he wanted to take care not to ruin Mary's name any more than need be when he thought that she had committed adultery. I think it's the same with our parents. They may do things that are foolish. They may do things that are worthy of censure. I should not be eager to give it. I should be loath to even have to say a negative word about my parents. It may come that the time where I must say negative things about them, but it is not my desire because there is that honor. I might compare this to the honor of the king. And in that case, compare it to Daniel, who serves a very wicked man, but he continues to give him truly affectionate honor. And he weeps when he must report negative things about the king. Daniel has no pleasure in tearing down the king. And so we should have no pleasure in tearing down our parents. But in fact, it should give us great pleasure to speak well of them, to say good things of them. Well, looking at the parental end then, just briefly, I want to say a few things about that. The idea of cultivating honor. Honor should be given. It's like so many other commands of this sort, that it is not something that children must wait for their parents to earn, that they have a right to wait in that fashion and say, well, they don't deserve my honor. No, you give it, and there's an unconditional aspect to that, that honor is to be given to the office, as it were, even if the person is not, not particularly honorable. But I want to say this, even so, that as parents, we need to try to make honoring us as easy as possible. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, again, as Paul is giving that instruction there, he tells the fathers to not provoke your children to wrath. He says each one, He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, another translation will say. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate your children. I like that translation. So that they will not lose heart. That is an easy thing to do. Because of that generational distance and because, parents will sometimes say, I was a kid once and I haven't forgotten, but we really do. We really do forget what it's like sometimes to be on the other end of that stick. And we fail to remember those things that we said we would learn from when we were growing up. Those things we would do differently and then we don't. We want to try to make respect and honor towards us something that comes naturally and that they don't have to make Herculean efforts to try to give us the honor that God commands them to. I mentioned before Phyllis Schlafly's comments about raising children who would take care of you. The parents need to raise children who know how to do that and who want to care for their parents. I went to the funeral of Wes Brown's mother, and I didn't know Wes Brown's mother very well. I know Wes pretty well, but not his mother. I knew her a little bit, had met her on several occasions. But what I knew is that Wes took her into his home. Wes and Donna took her into their home and cared for her for many, many years in the latter stages of her life. And there was a lot of physical and emotional difficulty with that. And I told Wes, I said, I didn't know your mother very well, but I know how you took care of her. And he, of course, Wes doesn't like a compliment. And he started to, now hold on, I'm not saying this as a compliment to you directly. I am saying it as a compliment to her. She raised you in such a way that she knew she could count on you when she needed you. And that is a great honor to any parent. It's one of the great honors, I think, that we could show, for instance, to Brother Freed. It was a tremendous thing to watch the family come in and make sure all the bases were covered. It does speak well to them to do that, but it speaks even more well to him and Mott that they do that. And that's what we want. We don't want parents, we don't want to raise children who we make it the hardest thing in the world for them to swallow and come and take care of us. When that moment comes, you end up having to do things for your parents that you did not conceive of having to do for other adult persons. And at some point in your life, if you're a teenager and you see that, you think, I could never do that. But if your parents have raised you right and you get to that point, you realize it's not even a thought. You just do it. And you do it for multiple reasons, because they've raised you in a way that makes that a blessing, that I could possibly return this. But you also do it because if you're raising your children right, then they've watched you do it. They've seen it before and they remember it. I know I've heard my mom talk about already, what she watched growing up. And this used to be more before nursing homes were so, you know, common. It used to be just the understood thing. We're going to make room. Build another bedroom onto the back. We're going to do something because we're going to take care of mom and dad. And I think, I understand there are places where medical care, medical personnel is necessary and it's appropriate. I'll tell you what, we need to not pull that trigger so fast. We need to be there. But we need to raise our children such that they want to be. But also, parents have got to leave room for their children to build their own lives. Talked about this a few times in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. For this reason, a man shall leave, turn his back on his father and mother, abandon. That word is translated in some places. Now we know it doesn't mean abandon, absolutely, but it is the idea of in comparison that we are breaking with this family and we are forming another family. Leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We're being detached from this family, attached to this other family. And so parents have to stay out of their children's business. Let them live their lives. Let them make their decisions. And as much as possible, you need to be providing for that all along the way. You need to be providing that they begin learning to make their own decisions. There are way too many children coming out of their parents' households who seem to not know how to talk on the phone, for instance. I don't know if you know this. This is a phobia these days. I don't know how to talk on the phone. People don't know how to adult, which is a verb now. But that's a shame because their parents didn't raise them to be their own persons. Their parents raised them to be perennial children. I don't want my children to be perennial children. I want them to be adults. So, we prepare them to go out into the world. We prepare them to separate from us. And if we've done that well, and we do that well, we may not get to tell them what to do anymore, but we may find, if we've done it well, that they may come ask us. And we can delight in that as they ask for our advice. I appreciate parents who recognize that role, that changing role, and who delight to see their children striking out and making their own way as they do so in ways that do bring honor to their parents. I understand when we're talking about children who are going into sin and things of that nature, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about matters of judgment, and those matters of judgment form a list a mile long. And you're going to have to let your children, you're going to have to rely on the raising that you gave them at some point. So I hope that parents then, in that case, can honor their children. Well, how about you? Are you honoring father and mother? Are you taking those things to heart and understanding the weight and the importance of that command? More importantly, do you understand that as a foundation for honoring the father? That is what the goal is. Because in heaven, he says there will be neither marrying nor giving in marriage. That even that relationship is not going to be a relationship of significance. It just doesn't exist anymore. And I dare say that all of the relationships are going to be flattened in comparison to our relationship with the Father. And so honoring father and mother is preparation for honoring our eternal Father. And if you've not done one or both of those, and we can help you to begin to build honor for your earthly father and mother, but more importantly, honor for your eternal Father. If there's any way we can help you with that, we would rejoice to study with you, to talk to you more about that. If you would like to let us know this morning, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing.